Reformed Church.
I've known about, you know, the Lord having provided youth for us and, you know, His youngness, He's provided that to us. And a lot of people don't understand, and I really didn't understand that for a long time, about what it means for Jesus to be young, because you're like, well, you know, Him and the Father's been around for since everlasting, so how does that make them young? I'm not going to explain all of that right now, but short way is to say young in quality, young in nature, and not in years, right? He's called Ancient of Days, as far as His days are ancient. That's why it's literally Ancient of Days. The word days there is describing how God is ancient, only in days. But if you read in Hebrews chapter 1, which he's quoting the Psalms there, and he says that they will all grow old like a garment, and like a vesture you'll fold them up. But it says, but you're the same, and your years will not fail. And so when he says that the Lord doesn't change or he's the same, and therefore he's not old like this world grows old, it says that he stays the same. That's therefore, of course, referring to his nature, his quality. That's why it says he doesn't change. Change there is referring to his quality of his being, even of Jesus' body, that it doesn't grow old like the world does. So that's that aside. But recently with thinking about this, I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna start praying for people and even offering that. If I'm up here, I'm gonna offer prayer for something, you know. I've said, you know, if you need healing for something, if you need wisdom for something, I've offered prayer for that before, like while I'm preaching or something. But I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna start offering prayer for youth. I'm gonna start, if you wanna come up and you want to get prayer to be conformed to the image of Jesus in this particular way, then I'm going to offer that. And let me just explain that, just a little bit of a few details behind that. Jesus in his earthly ministry, obviously you don't really see him praying for people for youth per se. Now, that's sort of debatable, because youth is just basically like healing in a different way. Even immortality is just healing somebody constantly and fully. So it healing and youth and resurrection, it's all the life of God just working, and so you can call it different things. So technically, yes, Jesus was giving life to people, and if because of aging they had a particular sickness or problem in their body and he healed that, you know what I'm saying, is it called healing? Is it called youth? It's just the life of God, but it's not necessarily, in Jesus' earthly ministry, something that's like spoken of in those terms, that he would pray for people for youth to make them younger. But the really awesome thing about this is that we do not have what Jesus had in his earthly ministry. And if we are going to constantly weigh what we do and how we minister to people to Jesus' earthly ministry, then we're not fulfilling what he said, in that he said that greater works than these will you do. And a lot of people do not understand greater works than these will you do. And in short, we know at this church that what that means is Jesus was not in his resurrected, glorified form when he was healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, etc. in his earthly ministry. And now he is in his glorified form, and he has more privileges, more rights to the power of God than he did in his earthly ministry when he limited himself. And that being said, the Bible says that as he is, so are we in this world. And it's not as he was in his earthly ministry, as he is, meaning in his glory, so are we in this world. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we perceive him, we look, and we behold his glory, speaking of his glorified state, as in a mirror, meaning to see ourselves. So we relate to Jesus in his glorified state, and that what it means, it basically explains what it means for Jesus to say, greater works than these will you do. Because how could we not do greater works than Jesus did in his earthly ministry if his glorified state is greater than his state on earth? And we have the equivalent of his glorified state, which is greater than his earthly ministry. So if we are only preaching on healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, you know, cleansing lepers, freely you've received, freely give, well, we're actually limiting God then. We're actually limiting what God can do in our life if that's the extent to which we believe our ministry should look like. And so when I say, I'm going to start praying for people for youth, I'm going to start offering that. And when I'm talking to people, I'm going to offer that to people, that I can pray for them to make them younger. And when I say younger, just to explain this a little bit, I'm talking about in your structure of your body. I'm talking about physical change in your body, your bones and your muscles. I'm talking about wrinkles and gray hair. I'm talking about those things. Those are real things, right? Those aren't, sometimes those things might be something we might chuckle at, but those really, that's not, it's not a, a funny thing. It's a real thing, right? That's an actual thing God provided. The Bible describes gray hair as being lack of strength. I can get that verse for you after service if you'd like. That is decay and corruption, and it's no different than sickness or disease or anything like that. It's just that's what it is. And I'm not preaching this because I see that fully in my life. I'm preaching it because it's a reality of what Jesus did. You remember, we don't see it in our life, and therefore we believe it. We believe it, and therefore we see it, right? If you believe, therefore you'll see the glory of God in John chapter 11. So we have to start believing it, and if we really believe it, then it should be coming out of our mouth. If it's not coming out of our mouth freely and just like off on the tip of our tongue, then it's not on the tip of our mind, okay? It's not on the tip of your tongue, it's not on the tip of your mind. And also, too, there's another thing that goes along with this, too. Even in our actions, the belief will change our actions. James says faith without works is dead. That does not mean that you need to do the faith and the works. We have one obedience. But it is also true that we can act sometimes even in contrary ways in what we speak and in what we do that contradicts the very thing that we believe. And so faith will change the way that you act. Faith will change the way you pray for people. Faith will change what you say. So there will be following works and there will be following speech to back up if you actually believe something. And it's not that we have to do the speech. We just put out an article about this. It's not that you have to do all the outside stuff. Is the difference between saying faith and works or faith produces works. There's just a difference in perception there. And so all I'm saying with this is that we have the equivalent of the Lord's glory. And also, even further than youth, I'm like, you know what, Lord, I'm going to start praying for people just for mere... And not that I wouldn't have prayed for people beforehand. It's just different when God shows you something, right? And I'm gonna start offering to people that if they just have an imperfection in their body, they could have a whatever it is. I mean, something could be not symmetrical about their body. Something could be whatever it is. It could not be pain. It could not be hurt. It could not be, you know, as the world would say, decreasing their quality of life. It's just an appearance, an aesthetic thing that isn't right. And I will pray for that to make it better and to conform it to the image of Jesus. And people might have questions about that, what it means to conform something to the image of Jesus. But let me just read you a couple, I won't even read it. I'm just going to quote it to you because it'll take too long. But Romans 8:28, though, is Romans 8:29 speaks about how God has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That word conformed is not speaking about just in morality that, you know, you'll love your neighbor. That's referring to the image of Jesus, and in particular, it comes from a word that is the word morphe, and it means the part that strikes the vision, the appearance of something. So when it says to be conformed to the image of Jesus, it's talking about the outside stuff that is evident to human beings. That's what it's talking about, and it's saying God wants to change our form. In fact, he has destined you to have your form, your outside, which is talking about your mind and your body, your mind and your body. He has destined you for your mind and your body to be conformed to the image of Jesus in his glory. And people may say, well, you know what? I don't know exactly what that looks like. What does that really look like to be conformed to the image of Jesus? You know, if we don't know exactly what Jesus' nose and his face and his skin looks like, then how do I know exactly, you know, what I'm being conformed into? Well, first of all, the Bible does give us an idea of what he looks like, maybe not in a detail to where you might not be able to describe what his skin looks like, but you know it's not corruptible, you know it's not decaying, and you know it's not old, you know it's not imperfect. And so when you pray for somebody, even like for just a defect in their body, you may not know. Like let's say somebody's nose or something is there's something wrong with their nose. You could pray for somebody's nose, and there's nothing wrong with it, except you know it's imperfect. And you can pray for somebody, and you may not know exactly what shape Jesus' nose. Jesus has a nose. He has a body right now. You may not know what his nose looks like exactly, but it doesn't matter that you know all the details about that. You just know it ain't that. You know it's not that. You know it's not imperfect. You know it's not corruptible, and you can pray for corruptible things to make them incorruptible. You can glorify things because that's the glory we have access to. In fact, when we behold Jesus from glory to glory, we ourselves are transformed into that image. And our inheritance is defined as the power that rose Jesus from the dead, the power that he has in his glory, and that's Ephesians chapter 1. That's how our inheritance is described. So when you share your inheritance, it goes beyond healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils and cleansing lepers. It goes beyond that. Because greater works than those should we be doing. Those are things that just should be seen in people. I don't mean should because that's God's law to you. I just mean that's the right way for things to be. It's not the exception to the rule. It is the rule. It's who we already are. That is the rule of our inheritance, that we have what Jesus has and also can be conformed, and not can be, but are destined to be conformed, to change your outward appearance, to resemble, and by resemble, I mean to be identical to the image of Jesus. And again, you may not know exactly what somebody's, you know, people may say, you know, but we don't know exactly what Jesus' skin looks like, and so how can you pray for somebody for wrinkles on their skin? Which I will pray for that for people starting today. How do you know exactly what Jesus' skin looks like? I know it's not old. I don't have to know exactly what it looks like in appearance, like I can draw it out for you. I just know it's not old. I just know it's not imperfect. And I know that oldness in the Bible is called decay. Read Romans chapter 4, which is just one of many, many scriptures that describes oldness as deadness. Abraham's body losing ability, or skin, for instance, losing elasticity, or whatever you want to, whatever, you know, fill in the blank as far as what oldness is. But wear and tear on Abraham's body is described as deadness, and he did not consider the deadness of his own body or the deadness of Sarah's womb, because she had also lost ability in her body, not to mention she was barren from the get-go. So it's important to understand, you don't have to always know to be able to like sketch it out what it looks like in Jesus' body. You just have to know that's deadness, that's oldness, and Jesus is not old, so I can pray for that, and God will glorify that and conform that and make it like Jesus' body from glory to glory. That's all you have to know. Think about this. When you lay hands on the sick and see them recover, which is a promise that we would do that in Mark chapter 16, you don't know exactly what's going on in their body all the time. Let's say they have some kind of blood issue, right? You don't know, is it the platelets in their blood? Is it some kind of blood cell? Is it? You don't know all that, and you also don't know what it should look like so that you could sketch it out for somebody. You just know that's sick, and Jesus ain't sick, and I can heal the sick. That sickness, you identify it as something that is contrary to the image of Jesus, so you pray for it, and the Holy Spirit will be concerned himself as to how that should look. He's the one that forms human bodies. In fact, he formed us in the beginning, and after man lost that image, he knows how to conform us to the image of Jesus. Your job is not the forming. The Holy Spirit can take somebody's body and shape it and form it to the way that he knows it should be. That's not our job. Our job is to believe God, and God will use us and through us minister that to other people. That's a truth. God will use you, your body, your hands, your mouth, to minister to people and to minister his glory. People don't just receive the glory of God. I'm talking about specifically unbelievers. Don't just receive the glory of God automatically. You need to pray for them. You need to minister to them. They will not hear without a preacher, and they will not receive from God without you ministering it to them. And so you need to change your belief, and that's it. That's all you need to do, change your belief. But belief does have following works, and the works can be done by the Spirit. Should be done by the Spirit. Belief does have words to follow also, but our job is just to be obedient by faith. We just change our believing. But that will produce something different in your actions, though. And part of that is, you know what? God wants to be able to minister to people on a level that is greater than Jesus ministered to people in his earthly ministry. Jesus could not conform people to his glorified image. He didn't even have his glorified image then, and he limited himself, and he operated much like an Old Testament saint. And we have better than Jesus had. So that's why we can't limit ourselves to praying for people or ministering to people that of his earthly ministry, which includes healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils. It has to be more than that. And why? Because greater works than these will we do, because we have a greater image than he had in his earthly ministry. So that's really just an awesome thing, that the structure of people's bodies on the outside can and should be conformed to that of his glory. And so that's one thing. Another, I'll just mention one more thing, and then I'll let you go. People get wrapped up in the thing of, you know, you could be 90 years old, and you could be, and I don't say 90 because that's old in days. God is old in days. But you could be wrinkled, gray-headed. You could be in a wheelchair, and you can pray for people. And if you believe it, you can pray for people and minister to them. Best example, when people ask, you know, if I'm not experiencing this in full myself, can I minister this to other people? First of all, you don't have full knowledge and you minister the gospel to other people. You just minister what you got. And furthermore, a great example is Elisha. Elisha's dead body rose someone from the grave. That's just a great example of, like, he was dead and ministered resurrection from the dead while he was dead. His body had enough power just in sanctification, working it by the Holy Spirit, just left over from his faith, that it raised another man from the dead. So If you can be dead and raise somebody from the dead, you can have gray hair and minister to someone and put color back in their head. That is a real thing. And just so you know, I really mean this. I mean anything from something that's life-threatening to something that's just an aesthetic change. You will be changed sooner or later. A lot of Christians do not want to accept something like that because they think it's frivolous. We'll call it whatever you want, but being conformed to the image of Jesus is being conformed to the image of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, transform. That means to change your form, your outward appearance, that which strikes the vision. It actually comes from that word, if you study it out, to change your appearance to the image of Jesus. And again, that's something that we can minister, and it doesn't matter if you're experiencing something yourself. Again, I have wear and tear in my body, and I intend on ministering this to other people, because in our preaching and in our ministering, we're preaching what Jesus did. We're not preaching what we've experienced thus far. We're ministering the power of God, not our own power. So minister the power of God. Preach the power of God. Preach it strongly. You'll actually help yourself in the process. You'll get some revelation just teaching other people. So just do that. Just do that. Just press forward, and let's minister to people the full glory of God.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformedchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformedchurch.com.